Welcome to the Bears Barroom Radio Network. The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Trubisky being rushed, throws to the end zone for Deion Sims. He's got it for a touchdown.
Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live.
Bears Hour Live.
Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy.
Coming hard every Monday night, Central 10 East.
If we have a great week of practice and it's fast and it's fluid and there's no mistakes, you know, then let's think strongly here about sitting some of the guys for this game. And really, health-wise, you know, for where they're at right now, forget all the risk-reward stuff. It's health-wise. Like, where are they? And we have some guys that are tired. So, inevitably, I want our guys to be ready to go 100% health-wise for that Week 1 Packers game.
Hello, Bears fans. Welcome to Bears Hour Live with Draft Dr. Phil. I am Bears Girl, here to moderate and collect comments from those of you joining us live here tonight on MixLR.com. I hope you enjoyed Saturday's Bears 27-20 win over the Kansas City Chiefs. It was especially satisfying for some of us because the Bears' second-string unit outplayed the Chiefs' first-stringers for more than two quarters. But regardless of that final score of a meaningless game, the question of whether head coach Matt Nagy erred by not playing Mitch Trubisky and other key starters is still a very hot topic. The coach faced some questions and criticism before and after the game. Soon we will hear how Draft Dr. Phil comes down on the issue, and later we'll get the take of his guest Mark Schofield, writer at InsideThePylon.com and host of Locked On Patriots podcast. But first, we start off with you, good doctor. How are you tonight, and what is on your mind?
Good evening, everybody. How are you tonight, BG? I hope you're feeling the vibes of Hallis Hall and Matt Nagy's new swag going on.
I am. I think I've played that locker room video about 10 times since Saturday.
A lot of people are amped up about it.
We're at almost 2,000 snaps right now in practice. Right now,
really? Matt
Nagy's excited about it too. Look at that.
he jumped on the show real quick. Listen, I want to get this out of the way because I think it's important to say. I always keep it 100, and I got to say my truth on this. And it's not about narratives or writers, bloggers, and fans' opinions, in my opinion, which this show is about, and I don't know where Mark stands on this yet, so it'll be interesting, but I'm not a bubble wrap guy. When your whole story as a head football coach is every rep matters, and you consistently throw that out there at a player holding out or a player trying to make the football team, to me, that is where you drop the ball. And if you're going to throw 2,000 snaps at somebody, and then belittle 35 when guess what? Or 30 or 20 as the coach was talking about. Guess how many reps Mitch has had this preseason? You only get so many snaps live versus an opponent in the games. And in games that don't matter where mistakes can happen, it becomes more imperative not only to the quarterback, but I think the big boat that everybody keeps missing in the football ocean is cohesiveness with your offensive line, communication with your weaponry, your talent, preparedness, going out there and leading in that moment, your first, you know, opening of Soldier Field moment with Coach Nagy, and you don't have your face of the franchise playing. You know, I'll get into the fans later, but I think it's imperative that people understand X's and O's. And in a mental game, play calls in the huddle, checks at the line, 25, 18, I don't care, 11 snaps matter. to me as a coach. Because when I look at the Denver game and I see the mistakes and I see the lights are on and you're making mistakes, this is the dress rehearsal. So even though he's a man and of his team and he communicated with them, I think he dropped the ball on the reality that this is their job. At the end of the day, this is your job. And you can say whatever you want about the paying fan, but that's the lifeblood of this league. And the dress rehearsal, buying a ticket or not, and you can argue this till the cows come home, because ultimately it's a scrimmage and it doesn't matter. Those people expected something. And I think you owe them that. As a fan base that has only one, it hasn't been in the playoffs in the last 10 years, and you're selling tickets and PSLs with the expectation and talk about a winning and getting calloused up. All of these comments is a flip-flop. It's the worst kind I've ever recalled, to be perfectly honest. And I respect a lot of people on Twitter and have a very good football IQ. And I would say half were on my side and half are on Coach Nagy's side about health. But I will say this. I'm bringing my truth. I love how Matt Nagy answered every question. I love how he handled the presser. I loved what BG loved, the fire and the passion. I love that the number twos played well against Kansas City. That's showing you that they're coaching them up. I like that fire. But to be honest, practice never, will never, ever simulate game speed. Joint practices are great. You get some looks. But I could tell you, from a coaching standpoint and a philosophical standpoint, there is no comparison. And if you're going to say every rep matters, you have to keep it consistent. And finally, playing games defines players. The Hall of Fame game, you didn't see one starter. You saw Eric Kush. That was it. So on the depth chart, you saw one player. In two preseason games, Mitch Trubisky has a grand total of 35 snaps. No matter who's selling what, this isn't good. The argument for injuries is a weak one because they occur. They occur in practice, OTAs, traveling to Mexico, whatever. They occur. You can't prevent them. So to bubble wrap them, despite being prepared for the biggest game of his head coaching career, this is a big risk, and it's not worth the reward. And you're going to say, look what happened to Cam Meredith. Well, look what didn't happen years before that to other. You could go both ways. The odds, this is a collision sport. The odds are going to be injuries are going to happen. Bottom line, football players need to play football. I think my buddy Dan Pompey said it best, and I agree. You want to play football to play football to ultimately prepare yourself to play football. And that's really what it came down to for me. It didn't make sense. Now, joining me tonight, and I know BG touched upon it, but tonight's guest, I mean, he deserves an introduction from the draft doc like no other, because this is an ex-lawyer, for God's sake, turned black belt in football analysis, a man who writes words and speaks truth on America's game for Pro Football Weekly, Inside the Pylon, Locked On Patriots, Big Blue View, as well as at the NFL, at the Score NFL, excuse me, a QB analyst and friend, Mark Schofield. How you doing tonight, Mark?
Dr. Phil, I am doing fantastic. Thank you all for having me on. Excited to be here.
So I am excited to have you on. Really, ultimately, in being my truthful self, my ideal situation was affected by Coach Nagy because I wanted Mark to come on and break down Mitch Trubisky's performance in that dress rehearsal game and give the barroom Barfly, a great breakdown and analysis of where this football player is. And ultimately, I was let down, and so were you for the show's sake. Mark, how did you see this, and where are you laying your sword, so to speak?
I mean, it's honestly a tough call, but I'm closer to Coach Nagy than I think I am where you are. Now, the one hesitation I have of being fully on board with his decision here was the fact that one of the problems and one of the areas where Mitchell Trubisky really needs to improve is in that area of play speed and processing speed. You can still see instances. There are throws that he made or failed to make so far this preseason, whether it was against Denver, whether it was against Cincinnati, where the ball's just not coming out of his hands fast enough. And so the issue there is he's got to get that game speed rep type stuff. And you can try to simulate it in practice as best as you can, whether it's in 7-on-7, whether it's in, you know, 7-on-9, or however you want to do it. Mm-hmm. But you can't replicate it. That being said, while that's just one player, and you know, Coach Nagy has to do what's best for the entirety of the roster. And if he truly feels going into this week that we've got some guys that are banged up, we've got some guys that are tired, we've had this extended preseason and training camp, given the Hall of Fame game, given the fact that we've had guys in longer than other teams, and these guys are banged up, like Shaheen with the leg and the lower body and things like that, that he's going to do what's best for all of these guys. And so if he made the determination that the other 10 starters on offense can't go, then you don't run Mitchell Trubisky out there just to get him some game speed type reps. You've got to do it for everybody, because then you're really exposing him to that injury type situation, and you're just running out there with guys that you're not expecting him to play with on week one. And, you know, you can say that, you know, this is the most important game of Coach Nagy's career to date as a head coach, and I get that. But really the most important game is that week one against Green Bay, and that's what he's getting his guys ready for. And so while I have some hesitation from it from a quarterback evaluation standpoint, I think looking big picture, I'm more on board with the decision Coach Nagy made.
Well, to be honest, I was saying the Green Bay game is the biggest game.
Oh, okay.
I was saying, based on this game, preparing you for the biggest game, I thought he dropped the ball. If this was the determination in what you're giving me, Mark, in that, okay, we need to sit these 11 or 10 rather down, and, well, we just want to play Mitch, I'm with you on that. If that's there, you know, the injuries were concerned, but this is like, overall, we're sitting everybody. We're sitting the starters, and we're going to play the twos. To me, I just don't agree with it. Like, I get what happened. I'm proud of what happened, but I'm not going to, you know, change my mind on what I believe you're talking about is an issue with this kid, because I'm step for step with you. I think he needs reps like a Kevin White needed reps. And I see these decisions. And we had Sam Ratigliano on last Monday night with me. And he was talking about what they did back in the day with 6 weeks of two-a-days and 5 preseason games. And at what point is the technique and as well as the preparedness at a loss? Because every year, Mark, let's be honest, we hear, well, it takes a couple weeks, you know, till we find out where teams are because they haven't been ready in the preseason. And what are we doing this for then? I mean, the commissioner might have to step in to get these teams to play. Do you cut do you do just a joint practice session and 2 scrimmages and that and have that be the preseason? Because at some point, you're giving a terrible product. And granted, the Bears came to play and what you know the story. But ultimately, the preseason and above itself, especially this next week's game, everybody's playing second and third stringers to assess possible practice squad players and bubble players on the roster. So to me, A, I don't like this. I didn't like it. The end result is great, and it's ultimately not going to matter. But I really want to have your idea on where preseason needs to be and where you see it going. Is this going to be the new wave of the future now?
I mean, what's interesting is I think you heard comments from other coaches, including Andy Reid, you know, when he talked about Nagy's decision, he said, you know, it's not that bad of a decision. He said something to the effect of, you know, that's an interesting thought. I might have thought about doing something like that, because when you see the impact, for example, losing a top flight player, losing a potential quarterback in the preseason can have on a team, on a roster, you might be facing a lost type season. I can understand why these coaches might want to limit the reps these guys are getting in preseason type games, because, you know, you can control the level of contact, you can control, you know, what happens to your quarterback in a game type situation, in a practice type situation. Can't do it in a game. And so if you're facing a situation where there's even the slightest potential you're going to lose a guy like that for a season, and, you know, you could have a lost type season, you don't want to do that. And with Trubisky, for example, yeah, there's the developmental issue, the, you know, play speed and processing speed that he does need to work on, but it's going to be much harder for him to work on that if he's sidelined for 4, 6, whatever kind of weeks. And so, again, I understand why he did it, and I think that this might be the new wave, Dr. Phil, where you're going to see coaches be much more careful with these guys. And the other thing to consider here is, now that we have this new cutdown rule where it all happens right at the end, they've got to evaluate the back half of this roster as well. And so the more reps they can get for these guys when they've got to make those tough decisions, it's not like years past where they'd be down to like 6 or 4 guys right now when you've had a couple of waves of cuts and you had to really – play other guys in that third or fourth preseason game. Because of that different schedule, coaches can handle these games differently. They can get more reps on these roster bubble type guys to truly make the best informed decision on guys they want to keep, guys they want to let go of, guys they want to stash on the practice squad. And so, you know, reps for a guy like Tyler Bray, who's trying to make this roster, or a guy like, you know, Javon Wims, who's trying to make this roster, those reps matter too, because that guy might, you know, you might have to make a decision on cutting this guy or not. And you want to know if he has to play in December, you know, on the road in a pivotal game, if you can count on him. So I think because of the new cutdown rules, we might see more of this as well.
Yeah, it's very...
Phil. Coach Nagy was asked about those valuable snaps that Mitch missed out on in a real game situation. And I want to play some audio for you, because this is what he had to say.
We're at almost 2,000 snaps right now in practice. Right now, team snaps and OTAs till now, we're in 2,000 snaps. And so for somebody to tell me that 25 to 30 reps is going to go ahead and make him a better player week one, week two, week three, it's not going to happen.
And you've got about 30-plus listeners, Mark and Phil, in the chat room, and most of them are actually in agreement with Nagy's decision, including AirJer54, who ran a poll on Twitter, and he had 70% of those who voted saying it was a great decision by Nagy. Thoughts on that, guys?
Here's my thinking. I can give a crap what AirJer's poll came back, number one. Number two... I'm going to say this. This is where people skip over reality, okay? Coach, I love what you've done this offseason. And this could be the next wave, as Mark is saying. I love Mark, but I keep it 100 all the time. If he's going to poo-poo 30 snaps in a live game that basically he's had 35 this whole preseason in live games, then what is he playing for anyway? Just keep him out every game and he'll be ready for the season. That, my friends, is where I stand. If we play this game scared, if you play this game half speed, if you start sitting out players that are healthy, that need to get reps, you're doing it wrong. I don't care who tells you what. I'm telling you, they're not going to be ready. I'm telling you, that kind of stuff concerns you. This isn't Aaron Rodgers in his 9th, 12th season, whatever he is. This is Mitch Trubisky with limited starts in a new philosophy, a whole new play call and verbiage, everything, at home. And you know what makes this even worse, Mark? I got to say this, because as a coach, I thought it was a huge mistake and drop ball. And every person who listens to Bears Barroom Radio has varying opinions. And I love that. But I keep it 100. And people have called it meatballish and this. Like, I'm going to side with the Bears. No, I'm calling out the head coach I've praised all offseason, Mark. with this. If you have decided that you're not going to play these players, this quarterback next week, to take Mitchell Trubisky out of that situation against Denver in the 2-minute drill and give it to Chase Daniel, then you fumbled the ball in my mind. Because everything Mark talked about in processing and getting the information and delivering and being comfortable in this scheme was dropped in that moment. So Air Jair's poll and everybody else's thoughts on this are relevant. But at the end of the day, you're making coaching errors that I would feel more comfortable, Mark, if they gave him that 2-minute drill and he drove down the football field, brought his team against Denver on the road and scored a touchdown, and then you decided. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I think, one, the timeline there might be a little bit different because he might not have known at that moment that this was going to be his plan. If you take him at his word where he said that he made the determination throughout this week of practice, the good week of practice that they've had, that, you know, that he felt confident about where the starters were. Now, maybe that's just lip service. You know, we can't know that for sure. Mm-hmm. And so if he had that thought, you know, last week against Denver that he was going to sit the guys for week three, you know, for this dress rehearsal type preseason game, and then ran Daniel out there and passed up on an opportunity to learn. Because, you know, you can simulate, you know, 2-minute drill like that in practice and stuff like that, but it's a completely different team, different thing to go up against an actual team, an actual game type set and do that. So that those are valuable reps. So I'm there with you on that. You know, if that was his determination, if he made that, you know, if he had his mind made up last week and then still did it and passed up on that opportunity, that's one thing. You know, I do wonder, though. I mean, we're seeing, for example, like Sean McVay, Todd Gurley, Jared Goff. Those guys haven't even seen the field. And it's not like Jared Goff is some, like, long-term established type starter. I mean, you know, other coaches, maybe this is, like, a new thing that we are going to see with this younger generation of coaches that have, you know, come up through these ranks. And they said, look, you guys have been doing it this old-school mentality way for so long now, but you're getting guys banged up coming into week one of the season. Let's handle it differently. I'm just wondering if there's like this element of these younger coaches looking at it in a completely different way, and we're going to see a lot more of this as well.
Well, it's not Toto, but I don't even know who sings the song, but A Hard Habit to Break is what I would be singing right now, because I'm old school then. I never
thought. Is that Air Supply? I think that's Air Supply.
Is it, Mark?
I'm sure. I'm looking it up right now. I got to figure this one out.
You'll have to look. Because it is.
Go ahead. My goodness, guys. It was by Chicago.
How could I drop Chicago? That's so funny. I'm a big Peter Cetera fan.
There you go. I've seen him live.
Look at that. So just with this situation in and of itself, it was polarizing. It is what it is. It's over. But I really wanted to address it. I'm grateful. I could have you on the show with me to be my, you know, the contrarian side of it. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, it could go either way. And ultimately, what's going to determine if this was the right decision or not is that first quarter against Green Bay. Because if Trubisky comes out slow and he's misfiring and he's not making reads and he starts 0-for-5 coming out of the gate, then we're going to know that maybe he missed out on some valuable time, you know, in that third preseason game. But no, it's ultimately going to be on him. And this is one of those moments where I guess you sort of got to trust Coach Nagy's intuition and his reading of his guys. And if these guys were really sort of A, tired and banged up, but B, still having a good week of practice, which kind of sounds like a little bit of a contradiction in terms, because if they're tired and banged up and having a great week of practice, you wonder how that comes together. But if
that
they
the attorney
up,
in you, Mark, coming
that's
out?
The attorney in me coming out, making me put the lawyer hat back on. But no, if they come out flying and, you know, they have a good start to that game, then maybe we could all, you know, take a step back and realize that it was the smart decision. But ultimately, that's what's going to decide whether this was the right call or not.
Yeah, that's something I said, like, why risk it? You know, 2 points, because you're bringing it tonight, and I love it. Either way, even if he did not decide yet, I think he dropped the ball on not giving Mitch that 2-minute drill. That was dumb. That was awful. There's no justifying that. I think he in private would admit it as much. I don't know what they were thinking in that situation. Two, I'm not the guy that's hoping they come out so I could be right. I'm going to say it twice, Mark. I want to be wrong here. I want Mark Schofield to come back on the show after the Bears beat the Packers and say, well, I guess there's a new way to go after preseason. And I will gladly eat that humble pie because I want the Bears to do right. And if this is a new wave, I'm listening. And I'm listening to Mark bring it with me tonight. And one last point on the preseason, and then we'll get right into the Bears, Mark. For fans that go out of their way and well, they're not showing anything anyway. Everything's dumbed down and all of that. The teaching process and what you can take from the classroom onto the football field, whether it be simplistic and they're not trying to show or give away anything to an opponent, or whether it be complex or some trick play that they're just showing to make an opponent think longer. I think the value in preseason and the narratives of, well, these guys are going to be bagging groceries next week, and thus what you saw doesn't really matter. All of that stuff has irked me to no end because, Mark, you could speak on the talent that's in that league. It's unbelievable talent. They can come from the undrafted ranks, small schools, wherever, and to poo-poo preseason as if it's something that isn't learned or is there's no benefit because it's just simple. I just think there's so much benefit to these scrimmages.
No, I mean there's definite benefit to it, and you know it's interesting coming here, hosting Locked On Patriots and seeing how the Patriots have approached their preseason. For example, Tom Brady has been pretty vocal about the fact that the Patriots didn't have any of those joint practices this year. And he's basically come out and said, look, those joint practices, those are great opportunities to get a good sense of where you are as a team and to get those valuable type reps in against a different team, against a different defense, guys that you're not going to be practicing against, you haven't been practicing against the past couple of weeks and you won't be seeing them again. And so, getting those type of, simulated type of moments, even in a practice against another team, all that stuff, it does matter. Even if they're guys that, like you said, are going to be bagging groceries or whatever, they're still guys that got into an NFL training camp. They're, the best of the best out there. And so these are still talented football players. And so, I'm there with you on that. And, to go back to your point just quickly on, not giving, Trubisky that 2-minute situation. The other thing about that, he had just thrown a pick too. Mm-hmm. And to not give him a chance to come back from that, I think more than anything is just was a poor decision there by Nagy, because you got to give your quarterback a chance to go back to slink that off, because now that was his last throw of the preseason. Basically, it was an interception.
Yeah, and that's already been wrung out to dry with the narratives in the Chicago papers already about that play, and that's the last one. Let's get into this though. This Bears roster. You look at this roster, first let's start with Trubisky. I know you said processing, but really what's your biggest concern about Trubisky until this point so far?
He's got to get faster. I mean, that's just it. Like you can see, you look at, for example, I've got my notes from studying him last year, and, week 10 against Green Bay, he's got a number of plays where he's just too late with his decisions, too late with throws, too late to get the ball out. For example, he had a boot action play where he's rolling to the left, has somebody wide open in the flat, an easy pitch and catch. He doesn't take it, waits, hands on too long, and ends up getting sacked. He's just got to get faster with his decisions. And we're still seeing that here into the preseason. Like, you could look at the interception and that's one play, but, some of the other throws that he's made, it's just not fast enough. It's just not fast enough. And that's my biggest issue with him. Like, for example, he had a vertical shot to Kevin White that it was underthrown. It called for a defensive pass interference call, but he sets and resets and like crow hops on it. He's just got to get the ball out of his hands much, much faster.
Yeah, it's a good assessment. I've been concerned about him with this new system and everything, with the new weaponry. There's a lot of firepower on the outsides now. When you look at the roster last year, because I know you are a guy who, I always say, tape never lies. This is a guy that studies tape barflies, and that's why I wanted him on this show. You look at the talent surrounding Mitch last year to this year. Give me your quick first impression so far.
I mean, it's a much more talented roster. And, you know, given the offensive schematic structure, it's going to have the potential to move the ball, to get up and down the field, and to put points on the board. I mean, you look at last year when he's thrown to guys like Trey McBride, who's currently on the roster bubble out with the New York Jets. And now you're looking at guys that he's thrown to, and he's got, you know, Trey Burton coming over. I think it's a much more talented roster, top to bottom, the emergence of Adam Shaheen. I mean, I think there's firepower here to move the ball, to put points on the board. But, you know, a lot of it does start with number 10 and how he's going to handle his development in this new offense. I think from a schematic perspective, you know, Nagy's going to do some stuff to really help his development and to aid it along, whether it's giving him some designed shot plays, giving him some designed half field reads and things like that, the ability to generate matchups. You know, one of the things I have liked watching this Bears offense in the preseason, the pre-snap motion and shift, and that's such a great thing. So invaluable for a quarterback. Watch a Patriots game sometime. See how often they use motion and shift and pre-snap, because it moves. Once you get defenders thinking, they sometimes make mistakes. That's one thing. But the other thing is it helps the quarterback identify coverage pre-snap. And when you're a young quarterback like Trubisky who needs to get faster, like we've been talking about, you know, once you give him an easier pre-snap read, the decisions will come that much quicker. But I think it's a much stronger roster on the offensive side of the ball as opposed to last year, when you didn't know who he'd be throwing it to. And so the potential is there. Whether that gets realized remains to be seen.
Well, you're speaking my language, and barflies know Dowell Loggins never knew how to trade and use motion to
I mean, just a basic trade. Yeah,
they just never would ever do it. And I would call for it. I would get angry at the super producer because I would lose my mind with frustration with Dowell Loggins. So how hard then, Mark, is it to compare Mitch or process Mitch from the film room right now, because we haven't seen much of what Nagy's doing, as and what we saw last year was so almost diabolical to a young quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, there's some difficulty to try to ascertain where exactly Trubisky is in his development. But, you know, even with that, even with some of the basic components and basic structures they've been using this preseason, you can still tell that at least there is some upward trend in development, both from a schematic perspective overall for this offense, even though it's been pretty basic and bland, as well as Trubisky. Like, you look at some of the throws that he's made, some of the decisions that he's made, the pocket movement is still there. You know, he had a great throw, a band-aid route to Trey Burton to start his game against Denver, where he had a weak side overload blitz. He saw it. He read it. He didn't panic. Made a nice throw, calm in the pocket, even though he had pressure in his face. And that's one of the things that has always really stood out to me about Mitch Trubisky, because, you know, say whatever you want about lower body mechanics and play speed and some areas where he needs to improve, but definitely a tough kid in the pocket, not afraid of facing pressure, not afraid of staring down the blitz. That was one of the better throws he's made this preseason. It really stood out to me, because in those moments, sometimes you do see a quarterback panic and you do see him be too fast, but he actually slowed himself down there, and it was actually a much, much better play. And so stuff like that has given me hope that, look, the developmental path is there for this kid.
Well, if you like that play, you could check it out on NFL.com, where my video of it was posted in the NFL fantasy.
I think I saw that. I think I saw that.
You like that? Well, according to sources from Captain America, it wasn't a good throw by Mitchell Trubisky. But to me, I'm with you step for step that, you know, Meatballs on Twitter thought that was a bad throw. It was inaccurate. That's what I'm kind of tongue in cheek right there, Mark. But I'm with you 100%, because it showed me the growth and the natural traits to be aggressive and strong in the pocket and not fearful. And to have those guys barreling down on you and you deliver a dime ball, it just gets me off my seat. But when you look at the Bears, this whole roster, let's start on the offensive side. So when you look at the Bears as a whole on the offense, what's the biggest hole you see for this football team?
I mean, I think overall, I mean, this is a roster that when you look at it basically from top to bottom, you look at, you know, some of the guys that they have at the wide receiver spot. I mean, you could say, you know, how confident are we in Kevin White fully being there? How confident are we in Allen Robinson? You know, Taylor Gabriel, is he going to be truly your slot guy, or are we going to see more of a move to Anthony Miller? Like, there are some question marks there, but I think the wide receiver core is solid with potential, especially I think Anthony Miller, getting him in the second round. A lot of people had him as one of their top wide receivers in this past draft. I thought that was a fantastic pick. Obviously, the running back position, that group is pretty solid between, you know, Howard and Coed and Cunningham. I think that's a nice 1-2-3 group there. And maybe it's Mizell who gets that fourth spot. I think that would probably be the way to go if it were up to me. You know, I think that's a solid group. Tight end is a solid group as well. Obviously, with the addition of Burton, the emergence of Shaheen. So, I mean, I think the question mark is piecing together the right combination of guys up front. We've seen some issues with Cody Whitehair and the shotgun snaps. I know they've been running James Daniels out there, the guy they drafted to be a guard, but they've been using him at the center spot a bit. So I think that's really the biggest question mark on the offensive side of the ball, is getting the right combination of guys up front from a protection and an execution standpoint. So, you know, me, an outsider looking in, that's where I'd go with it.
Back to the original preseason miss, so to speak. You know, you definitely saw James Daniels out there, and they ended up cutting Earl Watford, who, honestly, I was going to do this whole thing on him tonight about 4 or 5 loafs in a game, in a preseason game. I think he took it personal that he was playing in that game where others weren't, because his effort in that game was terrible. In a game they won, too, mind you, but did they miss the ball in defining that, or have they made the decision that Cush is going to be your left guard, Whitehair's your center, and Daniels is going to continue to work to get onto the football field? Did they miss a ball there, or is that how they're going with this? Because I think, you know, the last preseason game, you get your kind of, this is where we're going with our offensive line, and I don't know who's starting. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that might be an area that they're still trying to figure out. And, you know, that might, again, lead us to back where we started, was, you know, if you're trying to figure out the right combination of guys up front, then you might need to see them in action a little bit more than you have so far to this point. And so, you know, that is a question mark. And, you know, if it does seem like this is the way they're leading, you know, with Cush at that left guard spot, with Whitehair, and just plugging Daniels in, you know, where needed, then okay. But, you know, yeah, I think you'd want to be absolutely locked down sure about that. So, again, it gets us back to where we started this night.
Let me ask you this. Kevin White's a polarizing guy. We've talked about him here many a night and many a show. But you're GM now, Mark. You have a choice. It's going to be Wims or White. Who are you going with?
Wow. I mean, that's a tough call, especially like if it's, I mean, I think you still got to roll with White, even though Wims has totally balled out. I've been very impressed with him so far, you know, this preseason. But I think, you know, when you get outside of that and you start to think about sort of cap implications, which I'm trying to pull up right now, but, you know, you look at the fact that you've invested, obviously, a lot of money into Kevin White to this point. It hasn't really paid off right now. You know, you're looking at, you know, guaranteed money of $16 million, that's tough to really sort of walk away from. And so I think, given the investment, I think you gotta roll with this guy until you can either get out from under it or you've just exhausted all other options.
Well, I mean, you're given a cap number, and the cap number, when does politics define the football? It's unfortunate, but then based on that, Mark, does it force your hand to keep an extra wide receiver? Because I gave you the choice fairly. You chose one. I would have chose Wims easily, like a slam dunk. And it's not just because of the hype. It's because of what I see, polish and conviction in between the ears. And I don't see that with Kevin White. Potential, you lose with potential. And he's just always been that way, Mark. So you make a good point based on the cap. Now I just feel like you have to keep that extra receiver because of what Kevin White is as an anchor to your salary cap, but they are $23 million under the cap. So they do have a lot of, I think they're sixth most in the NFL. So it's an interesting dialogue here because this is going to be, I think, a 180 to talent at the wide receiver position, as Mark pointed out. And this kid is just a... It's a dilemma to me, Kevin White, that is. But Wims, I believe, has cemented himself on the roster, and I believe you could put that in pen now. Sorry, BG, go ahead.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to let you guys know that your listeners have some questions for you. So I'm going to start with Mark. Steven Zimmerman in the chat wants to know, do you honestly think the Bears will get anything for Grasu? And if they don't trade him, do you think he's going to make that 53?
What was the name there? I missed.
Haronis Grasu.
Oh, I'm not sure he's making this team. And, you know,
Be nice, Mark.
I'm qualified. You know, it's the lawyer in me. I'm still qualified. But, you know, I mean, you could potentially get something to, you know, a late day three type of pick and type in a trade type situation. But I'd say he's right now outside looking in.
I'm with Mark on this. I will say this, though, and a lot of people laugh, and I'm right there with you. I mean, talent, tape don't lie. You know, college to pro for some players is a giant leap. If you're not working your tail off at your, you know, your body is your temple as an NFL player. I look at this football player, and I felt like he was ascending, and then he got hurt in a family night game. So people are going to see, Phil, see, he got hurt in preseason. But from that point on, this football player became weak torso, slow legs. So people will define him for what he is now. And that's their right. But I know what I saw going into that season until he was hurt. This kid was looking at a starting position, and it's unfortunate. And Mark, you've seen it in New England. They get players off of scrap heaps and players that come in there and work their fannies off and make impacts. So it's not like it can't happen, but I am totally in agreement with you. I just don't see this football player making the roster, and it's a great question, and one I wanted to address with Mark as well. So that barfly hit one of my questions.
So the next question comes from Gaines Report, who's in the house tonight, and he wants to know, Mark, is there a pass rusher in next year's draft better than Mac from the Raiders? If not, then why should we not offer a first-round pick?
I mean, there are pass rushers in next year's draft. Like, for example, you know, Nick Bosa, who, you know, people are pointed to right now as, you know, an elite type pass rushing prospect. And so there's potential that he could get to that kind of level. But Mac is a sure thing. Mac is a proven commodity. Mac is a guy that made, you know, Pro Bowls at two different positions, given his versatility. You can, you know, you can stand him up. You can put him on the end in a 4-3. You can stand him up as an outside linebacker in a 3-4 type defense, which, you know, the Bears have been rolling out this year. And so given that fact that he's a proven commodity, if I were the general manager of a team, I'd be moving heaven and earth to try to get that guy. So, you know, you know what Bosa can potentially do. You know what Khalil Mack is right now.
I said this last week on Bears 100 Proof, America's number one Bears podcast, by the way. I said it. You got to move. I love how the attorney brings these demonstrative statements. Move heaven and earth.
There you go.
I want to move heaven and earth, too. I'm willing to give next year's first and a third next year. If we have a third, maybe we'd lose our second and third because we gave a second for Miller. I'd give the first and the third. I'd give a first and another third for the following year because it is a sure thing. It is an identified need, and I didn't get to ask you, but I'm guessing you would say pass rusher is the biggest hole on the Bears defense.
Yeah, and it is. And, you know, let's not forget, you know, whenever people ask me about sort of roster construction and roster evaluation, things like that, my mind flashes back to a moment at the start of the 2015 draft when the Miami Dolphins, they drafted Deion Jordan with like the fifth overall pick or something crazy. Mm-hmm. You know how that panned out. But Mike Mayock made the point when that pick was made. He said, look, this tells us that the most important spot on a football field is the pocket. You need a guy that can throw from there, guys that can protect there, and guys that can attack that spot. Those are the big three needs for any team. And
not
so
guard? They're not offensive guard.
Maybe not offensive guard. Although if you are talking, friends, to a Patriots fan who saw his team just lose the Super Bowl because their guard couldn't pass protect at a critical moment. But I'm not going to go down that road. Let's just say, though, let's just remember, though, you do need guys that can attack the pocket. And look at this Bears defense right now, you've got some question marks there, obviously, you know, with some guys that are banged up on the defensive side of the ball. Pass rush is an issue for a lot of teams. Khalil Mack fixes a pass rush, period, full stop.
Absolutely. And it would be a whirlwind if they were, and I hear through the rumors that they are talking, they're interested, which gets me excited, because usually when I see a few bloggers trying to guess and patchwork these things, I make a couple calls, and it seems like there is definite interest. So I'd be excited, Mark. Go ahead, BG.
I just want to let you know that Chris Trier is in the chat room, and you are a fan favorite already, Mark. And they want to know, will we do an emergency show when the Bears trade for Mac later this week? And will you come back, Mark?
I'm done. Consider it done. I'll be here that night. You guys know where to find me.
Yes, I do. Because if it does happen, I want to hear how the Bears and Ryan Pace move heaven and earth to get Mac.
My one question, though, would be, when did the Bears-Pats game, that's okay, that's October 21st in Chicago. So I would have to schedule something else to do that day, because if that Mac trade does go down, I don't want to be near a TV when Tom Brady just takes 17 sacks in one year. I won't want to see that.
We got another question from Ace Daniels. He wants to know, I think Fangio's going to blitz Roquan more than people expect. He wasn't asked to do a lot in college, and Fangio likes to blitz his linebackers. Is 8 sacks next year too much to expect for Roquan?
It's doable. I think it's within the realm of possibility, and that's a great point that Ace brought up there, that, you know, given that Georgia defense, given the guys that he was playing behind, you know, they didn't need to blitz him a ton. But that being said, you're talking about an extremely athletic linebacker that can go sideline to sideline and downfield. I mean, you're seeing, I forget what quarterback I was watching, I think it was Kyle Schumer when I was studying quarterbacks for next year's draft, and I saw him break up a play in the back of the end zone on a corner route. I'm just like, middle linebacker should not be doing that, and there he is. Yeah, that's what it was. It was Jared Stidham. That's right. Yeah. So this kid is athletic enough where if you send him, chances are he's going to get there because of his athleticism. And so if they do use him on the blitz a lot, like Ace talked about, 8 sacks is certainly possible. It's not outside the realm of possibility.
I would think the 8 would be pretty high and absolutely spectacular if he came away in his rookie year with 8 sacks, especially from that middle position. I want to keep it here on Roquan and ask you this, Mark. You know, with 0 reps from this kid this entire preseason and the holdout as well as a little hamstring tweak, do you see the Green Bay Packers attacking this kid if he's on the football field? Do you even see him playing opening day? What's your gut on that situation?
I mean, I see him playing opening day, and you know, when you put this question to me, the first thing that popped into my head was, oh, you know, you get a rookie middle linebacker and you might want to go after him. You might want to do a lot of play action. You know, Green Bay's done some RPO stuff, so you might want to do that. But then you talk about Roquan Smith, who's been playing middle linebacker, you know, playing on that second level in the SEC for the past couple of years. So chances are he's seen stuff like that. You know, he's seen looks that Green Bay might want to try to implement to get him out of position, to get him to be overly aggressive, for example, to get him to commit downhill against a run type look and then try to throw past him on a post or something like that. And so I think that you know, when you're talking about linebackers, it's not a position like quarterbacks where you really need those reps. Here you're talking about more instinct and reaction. And Roquan Smith has that in spades. And so the fact that he hasn't had these preseason reps, it might hold him back a little bit. But I think he's a talented enough player that he can still get out there and be effective week one, even if he hasn't seen a ton of live game reps, and even if Green Bay tries to attack this kid, because he's that talented of a player where he could overcome sort of stumbling out of the gate or not getting enough live game action due to the holdout and being banned up this early.
Mark, when you look at this roster as a Chicago Bear outsider, we'll call you in this moment, who jumps out to you as the Bears' best football player right now? If you were to say, well, this is the Bears and the, or you can give me two, who do you think are the two best players on the roster?
I mean, I think you look at what Jordan Howard could do as a multifaceted running back for this team. You look at his ability to get going, mm-hmm. you know, with vision in the run game on some of those outside zone type runs from last year. And we're sure going to see some of that stuff this year. And the vision and the footwork and the one cut and go type stuff that he can do, that certainly stands out. You know, defensively, there's a number of different ways you can go. I mean, you could go pure on the talent alone and say, look, a Roquan Smith is an extremely talented player. You know, you could look at, you know, a Leonard Floyd and what he's meant to this defense for a while now. I mean, there are a number of different ways you could go on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, you know, I will say this, in sort of getting ready for tonight and studying this preseason, there have been, you know, some of these second and, you know, third tier type guys, you know, like a DeAndre Hall, who I know is fighting for a roster spot. But, you know, when you start that game against Kansas City and you're chasing down Tyreek Hill, you know, from the mm-hmm. safety spot on a fly sweep, you know, that certainly caught my eye. And he had some other plays in that game. And so, you know, I think Howard definitely stands out. You know, there are some things that Trey Burton, for example, can do. You know, so there are some guys that I point to, but I think Howard is the first name out of that gate for me.
Guys, we've got about 10 minutes left, and we got a question coming in the chat from Isaiah Robles. He wants to know, what's it going to take for Mark to become a Bears fan?
I will say this. Every summer, my wife is actually from the Chicago area. She went to the University of Illinois. And so every summer, we head back to the Chicago area for the 4th of July weekend. We do Naperville Rib Fest. We didn't get to see Pitbull this year. I was a little upset about that, but with a young kid, couldn't get out to see Pitbull, although I really wanted to. So I will say we went to, you know, there was the Science Museum and the aquarium. We were right on the lake there on a perfect, you know, it was a cool, crisp day in this July. And just being, you know, looking at that skyline had me thinking, you know, there's Soldier Field right there. This is kind of nice. I could get used to this. And so, you know, maybe when, you know, the Tom Brady, the TB12 era is over, you know, I can switch allegiances because Chicago is a fun town. I do have some ties to that area now. And last but not least, I could eat Portillo's for the every single meal for the rest of my life. And so it's for the hot dog,
you and Adam Rank,
I might switch.
So friend of the show, Adam Rank, I got to set it up because he was on with me and we were chatting it up. And, you know, I go, I need you to give me a little station ID before you leave. So this is what we got.
Our producer is looking at us. Super producer. Like, what?
He doesn't have the Portillo's strop. Oh,
He doesn't have the Portillo's. He had it.
I'm sorry, Bart. We'll have to put that in the podcast version tomorrow. But Adam came on and he's right there step for step with you like I am with Jordan Howard in Portillo's. I hope when I come to town, we're not revealing this date yet, in Chicago to do the live shows and finally meet the super producer Aldo Gandia behind the turntables over there. On the ones and twos, mixing it up. I hope he takes me to Portillo's, Mark. Is that the place I should go?
One of the years we made this trip, we flew into O'Hare, and we got the rental, and we searched for the nearest Portillo's. We literally got off the plane, strapped the kids into the car seats, and went to Portillo's. And so, yes, that would be the answer. There you go.
There you go. Well, I am coming. We are going to announce it at some point. And going to the game, I'm looking forward to it and meeting Barflies and the whole nine. But Mark, you're bringing it tonight. And, you know, before we, you know, wrap up the show and wrap up with Mark, he's been so generous with his time, and I really appreciate you coming on and breaking this stuff down, and really want you to come back, especially leading up to that the New England Patriot game. You got to get your view and take on where Mitch is and what, you know, he needs to do in order to be successful against the dynasty you have over there in New England. Well, I'm there too in Connecticut, so technically I got to hear about it all the time, Mark. So, but in truth, you know, there is something to be said from coaching and you being under the umbrella of Bill Belichick and that, you know, that whole philosophy that he lives by. You know, what's the most impressive thing for you in regards to what he's able to do for his football teams and how he has been able to get them to play?
You know, it's a great question, Phil. There are a number of different ways I could go with this. I mean, I think the main thing is sort of stressing the situational awareness to the point where, you know, I think back, it was years ago, it was like a Monday night opener where they intentionally took a safety, you know, late in the game because it was the best play to sort of get them out of, you know, their own territory, then kick off and, you know, trust their defense to make a stop. Or if it's things like, you know, this was a team that had Julian Edelman and Troy Blown, you know, playing in the secondary. I mean, you had Julian Edelman covering Anquan Boldin on a fourth quarter, 2-minute drive in an AFC championship game. And now we're seeing it right now with, you know, Jason McCourty, a veteran cornerback. Well, maybe he's on the roster bubble at cornerback because they've got some young kids they like, but they're getting him reps at safety because they might keep him on the roster because he can give them depth at safety. And it's so the little things like that where you've got the situational awareness where everybody knows like exactly what to do in each moment, coupled with the positional versatility he can find in guys. Like, that's what's enabled them in this sort of salary cap era where you're hamstrung by practice time, you're hamstrung by roster rules and roster sizes, to have guys that can give you versatility at different positions and yet still know exactly what they're supposed to do in those moments. I think that really stands out to me.
Well, to just piggyback off that, one thing I will say, because I've kind of chewed Matt Nagy out tonight, I want to give him a compliment. He has taken a defensive lineman, a Rashad Coward, and he's put him at offensive tackle. And Mark, I don't know how closely you're paying attention to the depth chart and what have you, but just take this from me. In assessing this kid, I think he has the most preseason snaps out of any football player in the league. I might be wrong on that, but the guy has started every snap this offseason. This kid is impressive, and he's somebody I really believe. Not only is going to make the 53, but I feel like his technique and his attitude for the position in such a short time, and you talk about positional versatility. Here's a guy, you know, brought in as a defensive lineman that, you know, Harry Hestand gets his hands on him and he starts teaching him technique. He's already got the tremendous athleticism, and you find a football player. Patriots have been known. They took a wrestler, a kid who never played football,
right,
and made him a guard, for God's sake, and ended up going to the Pro Bowl at guard,
yep,
becoming a high-demand, high-respected football player. That's coaching. That's what I'm seeing so far, and I'm excited about that because I think it was a great point by you to recognize how they juice, so to speak, squeeze every bit of talent from their roster to help them win games, because that's the most important thing.
Yeah, and it's a great point about the kid you were just talking about, because then imagine a situation where he makes the roster and they get dinged up at defensive line. And what do they do? Do they sign somebody? Or, hey, go back to the defensive meetings now because you're playing D-line this week.
And that happens in football. I mean, it happens on the high school and college levels all the time. And we don't see it in the NFL as much. I think there was one year in Chicago lore where they had to put a guard and the smartest man in the bar room would probably know who that guy was, and all of a sudden he's playing defensive tackle in the league because they lost all these players. But you never know. This is football, and rosters in the middle of a game can get down to, you know, a tight end playing right tackle. So you got to always be prepared, and I think you brought it tonight, and you bring a great point of value in coaching and assessing personnel and using it correctly.
So before we close out this show and let you know what the barflies in the chat room have been saying, Mark, let our listeners know where they can find you.
Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me, and a huge shout out to the barflies out there listening. Thanks for all your comments and questions tonight. Easiest way to find me on Twitter at Mark Schofield. You can check out the work at places like InsideThePylon.com, The Score, Pro Football Weekly, where I am going to be the official Mitchell Trubisky watcher and breaker downer this season. So I am going to be watching a ton of Bears tape. So anytime you guys want to talk about Trubisky, happy to come back. But those are the easiest ways to find me.
Well, now I can't leave that giant piece of BB's butterscotch cookie on the plate without saying we need you back after Green Bay game.
There we
Bears
go.
Hour long. I want to know if me and you are step for step, and the barflies are going to be prepared now. They're scouting you. They're saying, I knew, Mark, that you would impress our fan base, who not only are knowledgeable, you see the questions they throw, but they have passion for it, and I appreciate them for coming on. And that's it. I don't care if it's 20 minutes that we have to have Mark because he's got to go to a meeting or whatever. Just make that time for us, Mark, because I trust your eyes. I really, really do. And if you are a loyal listener here to me, which 99.9% of you are listening right now, and this will be a podcast version, so there's a lot of people that can't listen in live. Follow Mark. Know that I believe in this football, this man's eyes and his football acumen, and that's all you need to know.
Well, I appreciate that, my friend. It's been a blast.
Thanks, Mark. Absolutely. Consider it booked for September 10th, that Monday night. We will see you back here.
Fantastic.
All right, Mark. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you. Bears Girl, you had something else?
Yeah, I'm going to go through some comments, and then we're going to wrap up this show,
Let's keep
Phil.
Mark on. He wants a little pat.
Absolutely. All right. So Ryan Cox in the chat room says Nagy is as transparent as they come.
Oh, without a doubt. I got to say this. I was blown away by the presser, but I had to say my truth. Mark, did you see the Nagy presser?
I did.
Were you blown away by, first of all, let me get this on the air, on the record. I hated the Chicago media PR before. But I also hate the guy that says, all right, two more questions, guys. Two more. That's it. And comes in and defines the fact that Matt Nagy looked at that guy cross-eyed like Jason LaCanfora and said, keep the questions coming. Keep them coming. To say, I know this is a polarizing decision, and I'm not going to pretend that it isn't, and I'm going to answer every goddamn question you have until they're all answered. To me, it doesn't take away my feelings of what happened, but it gives me confidence in what he's saying to be true that he believes. Because if you don't stand up there and face the fire, if you don't believe it, and I was blown away. So yes, Cox, that was as transparent as you could be. And not only is it the polar opposite of Fox, it is so refreshing to be a Bear analyst and a Bear fanatic and be able to see that.
So Gaines' report is in the house tonight, and he says, if we trusted Trestman, then my humble opinion is I will ride with Nagy, who learned from and has been surrounded by quality and above average coaching.
Yeah, without a doubt, Mark, you could speak on it. Is there anyone better prepared or has had a history than Andy Reid?
Other than clock management, I can't think of anybody else. So there you go.
Mark, I got to ask you off that. Why has the Belichick tree fallen so far from the tree that it's run?
You know, Phil, it's a fascinating question because you would expect, you know, all of these guys like Crennel or O'Brien mm-hmm. or McDaniels to go out and light the world on fire. And I think, you know, part of it is that Bill Belichick has his hands in everything. And you might say, like, oh, you know, Josh McDaniels is running the show. You mean to tell me what Bill Belichick doesn't know what that offense is doing? Give me a break. And so, you know, exactly. I think it's just Belichick has his hands in everything. And, you know, once these guys get out of their own, they realize that, wow, okay, when Belichick had his hands in everything and I just was really responsible for this little narrow aspect of what this team is doing, and now I'm responsible for everything, it's a vastly different world out there. And look no further than Josh McDaniels, who seems now afraid to leave the comfort and shade of Bill Belichick mm-hmm. over his shoulder, taking care of everything. I think that speaks volume about what Bill Belichick actually does in that building on a day-to-day basis.
I would drop the ball and have people hate me if I didn't ask this question, and I almost did. I'm sorry, Bears girl. I almost dropped the ball.
Okay.
Matt Patricia. There's a lot of Lion fans talking smack like they have won a Super Bowl in their lifetime, and they never have. So Patricia, to me, from the whispers, I'll say, from people I respect, they don't know. Do you know?
I don't. And I will say that Patricia is a brilliant defensive mind, from the big picture down to the little details, and, you know, how to come into and out of phase when you're a cornerback, mm-hmm. being in that left hip of the, you know, defender on a particular route and raking sort of up through the arms and not down and things like that. Like, you watch some of Matt Patricia's coaching clinics. He had one at Notre Dame. It's a fascinating watch. But again, it's the big picture stuff. Can you really trust this guy to come in and, like, take over an organization? And we're hearing that they're running a very physical training camp, but it's, you know, guys are buying in for now. But if this team starts 0-2, you know, are guys still going to be buying into how they were handled this summer? And so the jury is still out, to use a horrible pun from my former career. The jury is obviously still out on Matt Patricia right now.
I love him. Next time you come back, I'm going to parody Toto for you.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Okay, so that'll be your song when you come back, because I do guest songs and fraud songs and phony tweeter songs. I do it all. Goodbye.
I love it.
So
love it.
That's a little hidden gem. So Aldo, mark it down, and BG, put it in the calendar.
I've got it already there.
My boy Schofield's going to get a Toto song.
That's
you got 2.5 weeks. You got 2.5 weeks to pull this together. I know you can do it.
I could do it in 4 days.
So Chai Bears Plus is in the house, and he says, the last 2 years, the Bears have nearly led the league in IR. Everyone has been asking if the Bears could have a new training staff and what they would do differently. This is different. I'm willing to see this preseason strategy work out.
I mean, you know, that gets us to the, you know, again, where we started, where, you know, from Nagy's presser, you know, health-wise, we've got some guys that are tired. And, you know, this is, again, one of those moments where you've got to believe that he has the eye. He can see how these guys are right now. He can see how they might be, you know, lagging a little bit, tired and banged up. And you've just got to trust that the guy has the pulse of where his team is at right now.
Any chance Roquan plays this Thursday? In your mind?
I wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm with you too, and it just begs me to say, this kid's just going in the game on Sunday Night Football.
He's a talented enough kid to do it, I think.
It's going to be must-see TV. It can't be any other way. It's going to be, as much as you, Matt Nagy's first game, Mitchell Trubisky, if I see number 58 out there flying around and playing like I believe the tape says, and how you're talking about him, Mark, we're step for step, it is going to be the story of the night, especially here in the barroom.
Oh, definitely.
So speaking of the barroom, someone behind the handle, Bears Barroom Radio Network, is asking, aren't you contradicting yourself, Phil? Aren't you bubble wrapping Roquan?
Well, I want him to play this Thursday, to be perfectly honest. I asked if I thought he would play, and I just don't think they're going to do. So I'm not contradicting, am I? If you were the judge, Mark, I'm gonna promote you now. You're the judge now instead of the attorney. And I say, do you think that Mark says no? And I agreed with him. They're probably not. I'm not contradicting that. I think he should play. I want to see him out there for like 8-10 snaps and just get his feet wet. But I just don't see it after what transpired last week. I plead my case.
It was a well-pled case. I'll put it that way.
And our last comment from the chat room also comes from the handle Bears Barroom Radio Network. And they want to let you know, Mark, that the Tom Brady era will end at Soldier Field on October 21st.
Oh, man. Take
it. Well, at least I can drown my sorrows in about 15 hot dogs and one Italian beef from Portillo's if it happens. So.
And then you could just go to Lou Malnati's and have a deep dish pizza and Garrett's and eat some popcorn.
I know. I could just run the gamut of Chicago, the Chicago food tour. That would be fantastic. Just one way to go.
Exactly. All right, gentlemen.
You can't forget them.
Oh, yeah. We have to absolutely plug Bill's Burgers and make sure that we get you down at the Marriott in downtown Chicago.
There you go.
So, Phil, Mark, let's remind our barflies and all of our new listeners, we do have a couple of them in the chat room tonight, that the next new episode of Bears 100 Proof will hit your podcast stream and the website on Wednesday morning. Scheduled to join us is JJ Stankovitz, who covers the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago. Also, live Wednesday night, right here back on MixLR.com, it's Buffon 55, the fastest moving 30-minute sports podcast on the internet. Another couple programming notes, this week you will get a brand new Fantasy Football Goon show with a special appearance by the Godfather himself. And he has some draft tips that I am hoping that you will listen to, but wisely ignore. And of course, we are back here on Friday at MixLR.com for the Mike North Advantage. Final announcement from me, our swag shop is going to be ridiculously awesome. We are just days away from opening, and I apologize for the delay, but we want to make sure that when you purchase something, the quality and the value meets our standards. And as you can tell, they are pretty damn high. I'm happy to report that they do, and you'll be able to wear all of our swag very, very soon. Bill, as always, the final word goes to you.
Well, I would be a guy that would be cut on Saturday if I didn't say that my hat and my gavel is slammed for what Mark brings to the table. I believe that I identify talent, and Mark, I identify you as the talent, and really, truly, and all jokes aside, I so appreciate you taking the time out to come on Bears Hour Live. The guests that we've had on this show have been tremendous, and I add you into the list of them. You are a friend, you are an esteemed and astute eye, and a trusted one at that. So that's my final thought. I want to thank all the barflies for listening in and showing Mark your love. Follow Mark. Ask him questions, because even though he has a blue check mark, he actually cares about the fans. And that's the truth. He'll answer and he'll go out of his way to make sure he has answered if he didn't or missed. You could tell by the man's persona on the air. So Mark, thank you so much again for coming on with us at Bears Hour Live. Great show. Bears girl, you brought it tonight. I appreciate you coming and bringing it. That's how we want to do it here. And Mark, anything you want to plug or say before we sign off?
No, Phil, Bears girl, although this was a fantastic, fantastic time here. I can't wait to come back to be with you guys. This was a blast. And thanks again for having me.
Thank
you. Good night.
Can you do one favor while we end out? I want you to do a station ID. Mark?
What's that, ma'am?
Can you give us a station ID?
A station ID?
Yeah.
There's Barroom Live? You got it. Okay. This is Mark Schofield from InsideThePylon.com, and you're getting smarter here listening to Bears Barroom Radio.
Awesome.
Nice job.
Thank
guy,
you.
One take. Look at this guy. Guess you won a lot of cases.
Come meet me at Portillo's and let's get it on.